Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brenda, for leading us in prayers. And thank you, Mara Lee. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Grace Nutlands, for leading us already into God's presence today. It's good to be here with you all, church family, whether you're here in person, online. This is the beginning of Advent. Anybody else surprised that Advent is already here? Wow, it's Christmas season. And typically on this Sunday, we have a big feast in between the services where we share food. We don't have that today, if you were hoping for that. No, we can't serve food, but we will have an open mic time. And this season, this year's open mic time is going to look a little different. And there are these little Christmas ornaments on your chair. And we have a tree outside that you can put these on. So instead of just thankfulness to put on here, you can put something that maybe you're grieving this season of COVID, something that has been taken away, something that you've lost. And you can also put something that you're grateful for in this season. And we will have an open mic time. Pastor Brenda will walk around with the mic and keeping hold of that mic. And also online, you can also share those things and we'll lift those things up. One thing you're grieving and one thing you're grateful for. So at the end of the service, you can share those things. Now, if you look back on 2020, probably nobody anticipated the type of year that we were going to have. I certainly didn't. And so I was thinking about this Advent season. I began to think about the fact that things are different this year. And so our sermon series is Rethinking Christmas. What do these Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and love have to do with this world that we find ourselves in? I think they have very much to do with it. And I think it invites us to a deeper understanding of what these things mean. I have this book, The Science of Virtue, and it looks at the virtues that we find in Scripture and research behind the benefits of these virtues. And so hope is one of the things that they lift up in this book. And I want to list some of the benefits that social scientists say that hope involves. If we can move forward on the slides, that would be great. And we'll continue there. So social scientists say hope involves feeling optimistic that my future can be better than the present. Two, it says identifying pathways to help me move from where I am now to where I want to be. And three, having a sense of motivation to make it so. Can you imagine that there's some challenges right now for hope in our city, in our world? Are we feeling optimistic about the future being better? Do we have a pathway to get there? Do we have a sense of motivation? You can see the struggle in our streets, struggle with our young people, struggle with our students, struggle with our officials, and maybe in our own families to grasp a hold of hope. So what do we do when we're not feeling optimistic, when we're not sure what lies ahead? What do we say to those battling cancer right now about hope? How do we speak hope into somebody's life when their marriage is crumbling? How do we speak hope into somebody's situation when they've lost their job due to COVID? If hope really works, it has to mean something in those very difficult situations. And I believe hope does have something to say. Let's go to God in prayer as we begin to think about that. God, we do invite your Spirit in this morning. We've already been singing your praises, God. We've been speaking of this truth of hope and the importance for it in our lives. And so we invite you right now to speak into each of our hearts this morning, God. May you be a God of hope to us today. Amen. Amen. So research shows the benefits of hope. There are several things, and again, the clicker is not working, so we'll invite to move those forward. Hopeful people have more positive than negative emotions. They have closer relationships. Hopeful people give and receive more social support, are less likely to be depressed, and perform better on the job. Hope is lots of great things for our lives. It's good for us. How do we cultivate it, though? If your hope tank is empty, how do we cultivate it? Well, I think Scripture and Christ has something to say to us in that. Hebrews 6, 19 to 20 will be on the screen. It'll also be in your bulletin. It says this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So what does this say to us today? It says hope is an anchor for the soul. This metaphor of anchor, if you've ever been on a boat or on a junk and you want the boat to stay still, you drop anchor because it rests in the seabed and holds you firm despite the waves and the wind. The anchor holds you firm. The anchor was an early Christian symbol they would find in the Roman catacombs where Christians would meet to have their worship services when they were being persecuted. It was a symbol of hope for them. A symbol for their hope in Jesus Christ. And this says it's an anchor for our soul. The word for soul here is your whole self, your whole being. It's an anchor that keeps us rooted into who? Christ himself, our forerunner. See, once a year, the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies behind the curtain on the Day of Atonement. One person could enter that place where the Ark of the Covenant was during the tabernacle days, and they would enter on behalf of all the people. And this passage says Jesus is the one who enters for us behind that curtain so we can have access to that relationship with the Father. Hope is what keeps us grounded in turbulent seas. Viktor Frankl, who survived the Auschwitz concentration camps, had amazing capacity to hold on to hope in a very hopeless situation. In his book, A Man's Search for Meaning, which we have in our church bookstore here, he quotes Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, I don't know if I've ever quoted Nietzsche in a sermon before, but this is what Nietzsche says: he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. He who has a why to live can bear almost anyhow. What is your why to live? Having a sense of purpose is vitally important to be able to hold on to hope. So our first point today is hope is relational. Hope is relational. And as believers in Jesus Christ, hope has a name. What is hope's name for us? It's Jesus Christ. Henry Nouwen describes the trapeze, and I've used this before. The trapeze person who swings on the trapeze and leaps and jumps. Now, faith is the act of surrender to let go of your trapeze. But hope is what the flyer experiences there in the person who's catching him. He has hope that this person will catch him. And as believers, that is that act of hope. Faith is letting go, and hope is having that anticipation and that confidence in the one who catches us. And the one who catches us is Jesus Christ. So we have a hope that is eternal, not circumstantial, not temporary. And we see this in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Imagine that flyer going through the air. Hope in the Bible is not just wishful thinking, right? I hope my team will end win. I hope COVID will end soon. Hope is connected to trust in God, in who he is, and his eternal promises for us. See, imagine an upper story of hope that begins in Genesis, begins in the Garden of Eden, and God's purposes for creation. And this hope journey that we see, this arc of hope, reaching all the way to Revelation, where all things, as Pastor Brenda was saying, will be made new, will be restored, will be redeemed. And God's purposes cannot be thwarted. This is that hope in that upper story. Now, we live in the lower story. We live in a world where things aren't always going as planned according to our plan, but we know that God is still at work. Maybe our goals, your goals, have been derailed this year. Maybe you've had a season in your life where they have been derailed. Maybe the job ended, the relationship that you had hoped for never came. Maybe your health might be failing. That lower story sometimes looks like a tangled mess. I know when I graduated from college, the positions I was hoping for were not materializing. I was trying, but it wasn't coming through. My ability to make it happen was not big enough to make it happen. Now, going after these good things, a good job, a great relationship, a healthy life, are all good, but they might not last. They can be unpredictable. A virus can take them away. One of my college professors of Bible and theology, Walter Elwell, would say it this way: as Christians, we never have the option of giving up hope. Now, that's a strong word. But if my hope depends on me, my ability to make it happen, my ability to control a situation, my ability to achieve a certain outcome, then that is very hollow and very unachievable. But if my hope is centered on Jesus Christ, if my hope is centered on who he is and what he will do, on his generous love, on his sovereignty, then my soul can be at ease. My soul can experience peace because it's not up to me. I can place my hope in him. Now, my final point here might seem at odds with what I was just saying. Hope is active. It's not a passive thing. And we see this in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. See, we have a part to play in hope. It's not something we're completely passive to. We can actually engage ourselves in hope. Peter here is saying that we have to be alert, fully sober. The Message translation says, roll up your sleeves, right? We're holding on to hope. It doesn't mean you're living in denial. It doesn't mean you have toxic positivity, as Tina mentioned to us last week when we were talking about empathy. It doesn't mean you have to deny the real challenges that you're facing. And if I'm honest, when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, when I'm hungry, when there seems like there's too much to do, that's when my hope tank is the lowest. And there are certain things that I can do. I can get things done. I can finish writing a sermon. I can finish a paper. And there's a sense of hope, right? You finish finals as a student and you're feeling more hopeful because you've engaged that process. And those things are good to do. But what about the things we cannot control? Where then do we turn to for our hope? We lean into that connection with Jesus. So we can lean into that. That's part of how we can be active in our hope. Lean into that connection. What does that look like for you to lean into that connection? Is it a daily time with God in the morning as you start your day? Is it fellowshipping with believers? For me, Mondays is my time to be on the bike, and it's my solitude time. It's my time in nature. It's a time where I can have my hope refilled because it's this connection with God that is the source of my hope. I can bring these things to him, these areas where I do not have control over, which is much of life. And I can put my trust in him. I can be that trapeze person who knows I'm going to be caught. And then my soul begins to settle down. The light begins to shine into the darkness. Things begin to seem more hopeful because I'm trusting in him to be my anchor. That's what hope looks like. Doesn't mean we're in denial, but it means we're more aware to the realities around us. Many of our groups, well, all of our groups are going through emotional healthy spirituality, and one of the groups I was with this last week was on the week of grieving and loss. And to me, COVID seems like a great season to be able to press into grieving and loss. If we're honest, we probably had many things that we've each grieved this season. But grief can walk alongside gratitude, right? You can actually experience both of these things at the same time. And a lot of times it's important to acknowledge both. Being a Christian does not mean we don't press into the things that we have lost. It means recognizing that loss and allowing ourselves to feel that and experience that. But it also means we can hold on to gratitude. There's a slide that has the time for the open mic, and I'm going to ask Pastor Brenda to walk around with the mic online. You can also post, and Grace will read those out loud to us. What is something in this season that you have grieved, and what is something that you are grateful for? Pastor Brenda will be wearing the mask and also holding on to the mic, so only she'll be holding that mic. But I invite you to share. It can be one or the other. It can be both. Wherever you might be this morning, if you slip up your hand, she'll make her way to you. But this is part of what we get to do as believers, to share what's on our heart as a community, as a family, to hear the stories of grief and gratitude, and to be able to walk together in that. So I want to invite you now to lift up your hand, and Pastor Brenda will make her way to you.
I'm grateful for the church family, my health, and my extended family.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Francis.
I'm grateful for the church support and good health.
Thank you. Yeah, church support and good health. Thank you, Francis. So we can turn on Grace's mic. She'll also be lifting up things. Fear of the future is a grieving. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, online people. Yeah, Joshua.
I'm grateful for working from home so I get more time to sleep.
All right. So that's a COVID blessing, right? You can work from home, you get more time to sleep. Yeah.
Andrew also said grateful of being safe and well. Phoebe Lamb, loss of personal contact. So that's grieving.
Yeah, thank you, Grace.
Grateful for all the opportunities that we probably would not have discovered if it were a different time.
Yeah, opportunities.
Okay. What are you grateful for, Mia?
God.
All right. Thankful for God. All right, that's good. Any others that would like to share? Sheila.
Grateful for technology that still make it possible for us to be connected at this time.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I'd heard of Zoom before this year, right? Yeah.
Phoebe also said grateful for all that I have. And then Dexter online said grateful for recently finding community church in Hong Kong, a fear of prolonged disconnect from loved ones and friends back in Singapore.
Yeah. Jessica.
I grieve for a difficult economy and a lot of job losses around, but I'm also grateful for the chances to not travel, stay a lot at home, and pay attention to your family and people around you.
Yeah, thank you, Jessica. Maybe one or two more? Yeah, Jenny.
We serve in prison, prison ministry, and we grieve not being able to go inside physically for many months. Mm-hmm. But praise God, we are so grateful that we have produced a Bible class, and it's been approved and will be shown to different prisons throughout mm-hmm. Hong Kong. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. One final one. Yeah, Bex.
Something that I've mourned is, as we now all wear masks, which is obviously necessary, I really miss seeing people's smiles. The eyes are very expressive, but seeing actual physical smiles, I really miss that. And I'm very, very grateful that time with family has drawn us closer, and it's been quality over anything we've ever shared before. Mm. Yeah, great.
Thank you, Bex. Yeah. Earlier this year, Cody ended his college a season earlier, and he came here to Hong Kong. And as we realized, you know, COVID was spreading, we grieved the loss that we wouldn't be able to go to his graduation, that we wouldn't have this time of, it was a family reunion, of going to New York and helping him find a place. And it's okay to grieve that, right? But we've also grateful for, he will have been with us, well, this bonus year, really, that we are now getting to spend with him that we didn't think we would have. And so the very thing that caused the grief is the very thing in this case that we're grateful for as well. Thank you for sharing. I'd like to invite up Pastor Brenda to lead us in communion now.